Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we are on. Where are we?
We are in La Cucaracha, Stockholm. No.
That's another Indian speaking. It's turned into Indian football mafia all of a sudden. Al is still missing. James is not here. But we have two fantastic guests that are also returnees. Who are you?
My name is Martin. I'm a former guest.
That's Martin Sonneby.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's a bit weird because we're actually first time we're doing this pod. That it's English still, of course, but none of us are actually from England. I remember we're four Swedes sitting here and discussing this. So it's a bit, everybody's staring at
us. I guess we're going to have to imagine that the listener is the English-speaking person.
Yeah, but some of
them. So we have to speak to the listener.
Yeah, but...
Hello, listener.
How are you?
How many international listeners do you have?
There's one in Bolivia, isn't it?
Yeah, last time was a couple in Bolivia for some reason.
Hello, Bolivia.
Hola. Yeah.
I think one third is probably foreign.
Really?
Yeah. Two-thirds is Swedish, I would say.
Fans of Al's, perhaps?
It was very strange. A lot of American stuff. I think I was posting a lot on Soccernet in the beginning, and then I posted the link. I don't know if that's from there. We got some American listeners, but I don't know. Then we were in the States whenever they talked about it. I don't know. It picked up here and there, I guess. But because of the internet, I don't know. But he had some from New Zealand. I'm guessing that's from Al.
That's just family.
Yeah, but last time it was more from Bolivia than from New Zealand.
That was it was strange. We have a couple of... New Zealand is not amongst the top at all. I mean, the other countries. And that was another talker that we've had you on before. Anders Båth is back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back also.
Yeah.
Former Gävle player.
Yeah, former. You emphasize that as well because this season you're free transfer at the moment.
Yes.
You're free agent.
Yes.
And what are the thoughts about that?
My thoughts now is just to be in a good shape. So I train hard and a lot. So I was late for this interview or what you call it for this pod.
Yeah.
Came training, so you're in.
Yeah. So I parked my car like 1 kilometer away and had to run because I didn't know how to drive in this part of town. And now it's up to my agent. I just need to be in good shape, and then he needs to find me something to do.
So you train by yourself now? You don't train with the team?
I train with a personal trainer.
Oh, okay. But I mean, not with a team?
No. We are on vacation now in December.
Oh, okay. You clean out your locker and everything.
Yeah.
So you have nothing to do with your former team?
No. Everything is finished with Gävle now.
Have they paid your last salary?
No, it's... this in December, that's the last one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, cool.
And I will leave my apartment in the end of January.
Oh.
So I need to move every stuff.
So how does that work then? You have an aide and you just leave it. He gets everything for him and then he'll come to you and say, listen, I have this and that offers. And then you go talk to that person.
Yeah. Right now he's traveling around a lot and he's... Yeah.
Pimping you out.
Pimping you out.
He's a salesman. He's gonna...
Of course, he's my pimp.
Yeah.
So since the summer when we were in a bad situation, I knew that maybe I will leave the club. So he started working very hard. So hopefully we'll come up with something good for me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but that's the life of the footballer as well. It was of course a long season with Gävle. It was a tough season for you guys, but that happens in football. I mean, one-eighth of the Allsvenskan has to leave every season. So that happens. But you've had a couple of good years in Allsvenskan now anyway. So hope good luck with that. And your agent pimp you up well.
Hopefully.
Do you want to say Sweden? Or would you mind traveling?
I am hoping for everything. Because I'm 25 and I'm free agent.
Of course.
Next time I be free agent, I will be like 28, 29 maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
that's true. If gonna get anything good, it's gonna be now.
But yeah. Okay, so when is this sort of deadline? When do you need to know? Like
the end of January, I want to know.
Yeah.
So now it's like 6 weeks of not knowing anything.
No Christmas off for him, right? So he's working all the time.
Hopefully, I'm.
But then after that, it depends on how the transfer window works for all the different leagues, of course. Like in the Premier League, you can still buy, for instance, until then. Allsvenskan, same thing. You can still buy free agents. You can still buy after transfer deadline because of this.
But you still want to be there for the preseason.
Yeah, of course. I feel preferably that's of course that is. But if he didn't like anything in January, he can and get something in China in February. Then. You know,
what would be the dream scenario for you? Like realistically, like I mean, you could like not, you can't say like Chelsea, but I mean, I don't know how good you are, but
he's good, but Chelsea's difficult for him.
Yeah, but realistically, what would be like? Oh, this would be awesome. Within the realistic realm,
like a little better league than Sweden, or at least abroad, it would be fun to try something new.
Yeah,
and also abroad, you make a little bit more money, but I wouldn't want to go to like. Too far away, so you get forgotten in Sweden.
So you're saying Denmark?
Yeah.
Denmark
or similar league, a little bit step up would be unrealistic.
With a little bit of luck and like the right team and the right manager, would Bundesliga be like realistic?
No, it would be second Bundesliga then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, for like a really shitty team and they have a lot of injuries.
But they don't have any shitty teams in Bundesliga.
That's the problem. First of all, they don't have any. And what we say is shit. It's like the lowest paid player still earns like £25,000 a week. I mean, we're talking that they are. It's very difficult. It's very few. You think it's so many when you think about, it's 25. Each squad is 20 squad. That's 500 players. Yeah. But 500 is nothing when it comes to that.
Okay. So not Bundesliga. What about what's a step below Bundesliga?
I was thinking,
Belgium League.
Belgium League is good.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
That's more
like a shitty team in the Belgian League.
What is shitty? Okay.
What the top team in the Belgian League? They play. They're in the
Champions
League.
Also like too good. Anderlecht and though.
Yeah, that's good teams, man. That's really good.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like a shitty Belgian.
Because even if you look at like Nyman from Norrköping, he won the Swedish league and he went to second Bundesliga.
Exactly.
So
and it's I think that's fair.
Moulin's tried in Belgium as well with Anderlecht and it was a disaster basically.
It's difficult. I mean,
and he was that year, that particular year, he
and
was
same
basically
with
the best player in Allsvenskan.
Kujovic right now.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think the step up is more difficult than people understand from Allsvenskan. It's good. I mean, if you make it Allsvenskan, you're a professional footballer. I mean, that's what all of us dream about. Like what Anders has done is what I would kill to be playing.
Yeah, me too.
Are you kidding me? I mean, when somebody says they play Division 2, that's for me is professional.
Yeah.
Division 2 in Sweden, for me, you know, you play football every day. You have a league. I mean, you have a goal set and you have dreams. If you play in Division 5, you can't really say you're dreaming about coming to Allsvenskan.
You're dreaming.
Yeah, you can dreaming, but realistically, but it's like Anders said here. I mean, he's not thinking Bayern Munich. He's not, you know, retarded in the head. He knows that it's difficult. I mean, they buy players for 100 million. That's what they do. So,
My dream is like shitty Belgian team. Shitty Belgian team. No, that's not. At least like that's my least level of dream.
Yeah.
And then I dream from shitty Belgian team upwards.
Yeah.
Shitty Belgium is great. I always play Belgium as my manager because they have no transfer work permit policy at all. You can buy from any country, anywhere in Belgium, and they can play for your team as long as you have like certain under Belgian players in the league. You can buy any from Congo, 14-year-old boy from Congo. You can just buy it. No problem. Just play in 4 years' time. No work permit? We don't need work permit. We're okay. Belgium.
So we're saying
like
Denmark,
young boys.
Right? Denmark, if you were to get a pretty decent contract in Denmark, that would be a dream.
That would be a realistic dream.
Yeah, cool. It is.
And it's close to the continent as well. And they have better timing of the league for me as well. That's the worst with Sweden and Norway
because we play from spring to autumn.
And the other leagues
play from autumn to spring.
And you don't get focus on Swedish players in the same way either because the league is not up and running when the other leagues are up and running.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't really accidentally say, oh, that guy scored 5 goals this week or whatever, you know.
Yeah. You don't need to comment on this, but I'm surprised if AFC hasn't contacted you yet. So I'm just saying, I see on your face. You know AFC in the Swedish? No, you
because
don't.
Because he's...
No, come on. They just went up to Allsvenskan, right? And they need proven players in that division. It's a quite big step from Super.
Maybe something happened.
I'm just guessing...
Maybe his agent is at this moment,
that's,
pimping him out.
Yeah,
just blink twice if it happens. Because you can't tell on the
team. Am I going to blink like a retarded? Or...
All right. Okay, you blink, that's all good. All right, but good luck hoping the agent finds you a good shitty club in Belgium.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Good
yeah.
shitty club.
A good
yeah.
shitty club.
Yeah.
Or a decent club in Denmark.
Or a decent club in Denmark.
I mean, for Spectre, the back door to Bundesliga, right?
But you know, yeah.
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 Yeah. Leipzig, and then they went
that's
up.
That's true. That's true. But
that's,
they
that's
have,
a good way to get up to the Bundesliga.
That's true, and they're in top of the Bundesliga as well. So
yeah,
an unbelievable season for them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you talked about this? No,
a little bit. Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah, okay.
But they had you know a huge amount of money even in the Zweite Bundesliga. They were like on a Bundesliga budget in the Zweite Bundesliga.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they have that Red Bull
money. Putting so much money.
So much money.
Oh, right.
It was like, if they didn't go up, it was a disaster, basically.
Okay.
So funny with the Red Bull. The team's named the Red Bull and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it was good for the Red Bull Leipzig that Salzburg missed the Champions League.
It is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because then the Red Bull wanted the Bundesliga team instead.
Yeah exactly.
Hmm. Yeah.
Very strange that a thing like Red Bull can decide the clubs around Europe in football. But
they have like everything. They have a Formula One team. They have like this X Games kind of sports activities.
But
they're everywhere.
They're so energetic, you know?
Yeah.
Because the German fucker jumping from space, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, exactly. Maybe he should try out for a Belgian kind of, you know, decent shitty club or something.
Well, see, Bolt is supposed to train with Dortmund.
Yeah.
Just trained, though. But he's always had a dream. He wants to play football. He's a big Manchester United fan, as Anders Bolt.
Did he leave his Manchester United dreams?
Yeah.
And went with the second team?
Yeah.
He already trained with them, right?
Yeah, he's like trained with them, yeah.
He's just fast, man.
He's very fast. I mean, yeah, but he, of course, if he's not good at football, how good is it just to be fast? But apparently he's a decent footballer, according to himself. I don't know. He could be
one of those guys who carries the players off because he's really fast on the field and just carries
exactly.
And
he played
in
a charity game, you know, one of those for United.
Yeah,
he did that.
Yeah.
Came on that. But hopefully we'll see him in Dortmund or a shitty team together with Anders Bort in Belgium.
Perfect.
Lining up with Usain Bolt. You can hit the balls from midfield to him. Perfect.
What position do you play?
Central midfielder.
Oh, okay.
Apparently midfield, when I said you can hit the ball from midfield.
So perfect with a fast one. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Shoot the ball away and he can run.
Yeah.
And I'm retired now, so I think Usain Bolt
used to be really fast.
I used to be fast when I was like 20, actually.
Yeah.
I used to bang on.
Really fast.
A little heavier.
You pronounce fat wrong.
Asshole. All right. That's just so nasty. All right. Okay.
That's probably true, right?
No, I was,
I
was skinny as fuck when I was young. It's hard to imagine. I was skinny.
Hey, you went
from
skinny to fat.
Yeah. I went from like skinny to like skinny fat, you know, that you were skinny.
That's the worst.
But skin had some belly.
Yeah.
And then I went to like half fat that you never were skinny. I was like, trust me, because I believe in my head that I'm still skinny because I used to get teased on my Indian uncles and stuff. Why are you just eating air? Why are you eating air? Don't eat food. Why don't you eat food? Like 5 years old, they used to say that you look like an idiot. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You can probably confirm.
Yeah, I can. But I've never been fat though, so I can't like basically commit to that.
You have like no hair. So
you were in shape for like 9 hours in your life. Like now, good. Had a good one good day. And then...
Let's
leave that for a moment. And unfortunately, some bad news. We should mention our condolences to Turkey. There was a terrorist attack there the weekend where 27 cops died from that attack after outside Besiktas game.
Yeah.
So that's, we don't know any details of that, of course, what's going on, but it's...
But who won the game?
Yeah, they actually won the game. Well,
so, there's always
too
that.
Soon, maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
Kunal had a really disturbed smile, like, what did he just say? before the pod, we were talking about, I was the one who said things like this, but Matis Onnebye is a new winner.
Yeah, I feel I should say some inappropriate things.
I think Slaven Bilic is weird. He dedicated the draw against Liverpool to Turkey. I said, that was a bit cheap shot. Just
he could get a win at least.
It's yeah. not a cheap shot.
He knew he wasn't going to win another game.
He might actually not.
So he's like, all I can dedicate is a draw. Here you go. Have a draw.
Okay. And you know what? It's not that far off.
No, because he might not. I mean, it's a difficult period. A draw was good for them, but
yeah.
if we go to Premier League then,
yeah.
A draw for Liverpool,
they
lost 2 points.
Actually didn't look that good.
I saw the whole game,
yeah,
and I think Karius again.
Yeah.
He's cost them 5 points now in 2 games.
It was really bad the last game also.
This was worse.
Yeah.
The free kick of Payet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but...
That is...
I think most goalkeepers should say that.
Yeah.
I mean, second division, first division, it's pretty straight in the goal. It's not that hard.
Yeah. No,
what are you doing?
But you could also turn to and say that Randolph made a huge mistake.
But then he actually,
as well.
But then he made a brilliant save.
Yeah, but he did. But if,
save of the season.
But looking to the whole game as such, I really don't think Liverpool deserved that win. I don't think they were good enough. They didn't it wasn't the Liverpool we have been used to see this season. You know, the Liverpool attacking,
but they're stretched.
And from, yeah, they are. They're really stretched.
They're really stretched. And they need players, I would say, at least a bit more, because when they have this all of a sudden on the bench was unbelievable. There was no player over 20. There was no attacking player.
Yeah.
Didn't have any more attacking players left. It was 70-year-old Woodburn.
Yeah.
So they're lacking a bit there, but I still think the Karius cost
no
them.
Player over 20?
Yeah, but I think they had no attacking player.
Attacking.
Just had Woodburn, and Woodburn was the only attacking player on the bench.
Yeah.
There was no other attacking player, so they didn't make any attacking substitutions. You're chasing the game to win.
Yeah.
And the pressing them.
He made one substitution, and that was Lovren, and he went
in
off because he was injured, right?
Clava.
So that was the only substitution. Okay, but of course you can blame it on the injuries and so on and so forth, and of course that affects, but looking to the way they approached this game, it wasn't the Liverpool we have seen all season. I'm wondering if
West Ham
had
3 chances entire game. One free kick, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
The second goal, Antonio, it's a mistake. He just stands there as an idiot. Either you attack the ball or you stand your ground. You just don't stand. He did nothing. Antonio just switched the ball over him. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Two super mistakes.
That's true.
And then Liverpool had chances after chances they blew.
Yeah.
They should have been gone and dusted on that game. Even at 1-0 should have been 2-0, should be 3-0. But this is the way it's been going for them at the moment.
Yeah.
And on the
things
other side,
looking better for West Ham. It was basically, okay, to be honest, it was a really tough period where they have Tottenham, they had United, they had...
They won't get relegated, I think.
They had Arsenal, and now they have Liverpool, and now they have
United
games...
United 2 times.
Yeah, exactly, and now they have games coming up that are a little bit easier on paper. So I think maybe the worst period is over for them, and maybe they could start looking up through the table again.
Right.
I think so. And I think this might have saved Slaven Bilic's job. I think so. And maybe that's why he did dedicate
another 3 weeks.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Maybe. Yeah.
We'll see. But, and United, his youth support, play Tottenham, of course.
Yeah. A really good win.
Yeah, it was a good win for you guys. It was.
We needed it.
It was a decent game of football. It was okay.
You don't want to blame the ref. Because you did.
I was joking a little bit, but I do believe we could come to that section a bit. But yeah, but it's just that he's an idiot. It's just
that's
simple.
Not blaming,
it's just stupid things. I mean, we're coming 4-3 on a counter attack, and you blow a free kick, and everybody's standing there. What the fuck are you doing?
The situation in the first half?
That was absolutely ridiculous. I just think that. Not with him, I'm just generally, because we were talking, but we've been joking for weeks now that they are so, they don't have the same standard at all. In the box, it's game to game. for 50 minutes after 50 minutes. It's not even game to game. It's half for half.
Yeah.
It's no continuity at all. It's ridiculous. It's a chance. It's a game of chance and a game of how much the referee get affected or whatever. It's absolutely stupefying that they can't have a guideline to cover this.
Maybe, Anders, what do you know, the overall general kind of quality of the judges or the referees in the Premiership, is it something that you think, okay, so the Premiership and Allsvenskan, there's kind of a difference when it comes to quality of the players, but when it comes to the referees, do you see the same kind of, you know, difference? Yeah,
No,
I think
really.
No, you're right.
Whoever.
I have nothing to say about this. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I would say that in Sweden, I don't know if the game goes slower, that makes the referees have an easier job, but I would say that in Sweden, there is not so many situations as it is in Premier League that you discuss afterwards. And
How often is that? How often do you have a game that you go off the pitch and you and your teammates sit in the dressing room after the game, the bus or whatever, and you discuss what the hell did that referee do? He was an absolute idiot. How often that happen?
I don't know exactly, but it's like in Sweden we have like 10 referees.
Yeah. How often do you do that? Do you happen once a season? Maybe
five times a season.
All right, okay.
Yeah. And in Sweden, of the 10 referees, like five are good and five are not so good.
Yeah.
Okay,
so when you get one of the five good ones, then they can talk to you on the field and then you understand what they want.
Yeah.
But if you get one of the five who doesn't speak to you and just like give you a yellow card if you open your mouth, then you just get irritated and then you go to the bus and just
I like the guy, what's his name, Mohammed?
Yeah, he's really good.
He's good, right?
Yeah. Like 2-3 years ago, he developed a lot.
Yeah.
So since that,
he's been one of the
top
best.
Three. Yeah.
He might be a UEFA judge.
Yeah, they want him to be the next, Jonas Eriksson, who goes out and be in Champions League.
Yeah. I hope so.
That's interesting. How is the relationship with players and referees? I mean, you get to know them after a while, I guess, because they referee you all the time. Do you talk to them privately and stuff? I mean...
If I would meet them out in the street, I would stop and talk to them.
Do you have obvious afterwards?
No, we don't.
Okay. Fika.
But like in Gävle, you have Strömbergsson, the two brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you meet them on the street, then you start talk to them, and they're really nice.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
But we never have them on the games because they are from Gävle.
Yeah, of course.
But you start to know them. Like, I played now 7 years in Allsvenskan. Like, the first 2-3, you didn't know the names. But now the last 2-3 years, then you talk to them.
Yeah, of course.
Strange.
Because I have a theory that a lot of referees in the Premiership are there for the spotlight. They like to take these controversial kind of decisions. They really want to point out that they're...
Yeah, they are like some who have so many penalties and yellow cards and red cards.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, that 90-minute penalty.
Yeah.
That last minute, I'm tough enough to make this call.
Exactly. Yeah,
that
exactly.
sort of referee, fuck
it's
that guy.
It's not even
guy.
A call.
Fuck
it's,
him.
Yeah, exactly.
What was his name? The old with the blonded, frosted hair and the tan from like 10, 15 years ago?
You mean the Swedish one?
The Swedish one.
Anders Frisk.
Yeah. Fuck him.
The Hugo Fast attacked Anders Frisk, right? Remember that?
Yeah, but that was Hugo Fast,
do you mean Martin?
No, that was before. No, I'm not even... I wasn't even thinking about that situation. But that was before he transformed into like a cunt.
Yeah.
but he became this tanned, blonde hair, like... That would make a point out of making that penalty call in the last minute. I've seen so many games with him making that call. And after a while, now you just want to be seen because you're a dick.
Yeah, was it him who had Barcelona Chelsea?
That was like his last game.
He destroyed everything.
Well, he got attacked by Hugo Lafan. Then all of a sudden, he became Swedish's best referee from over a year or two. He was like considered the best one.
Yeah, he had the Euro final.
Unbelievable. He had the Euro final and then that Chelsea debacle.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck him.
Well,
I'm glad he's gone.
Okay.
Is he dead? No.
No, he's
not.
I don't think so.
What's wrong with you?
Because if he is, Martin want to dedicate one draw to him. This draw is for... Anders Frisk.
He's fully
passed away.
Yeah, in loving memory of...
Funny, we have one Boat and one Frisk we mentioned now. It's just...
Yeah.
So we're going to have some...
It's good we talk English.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Boat means boat, of course.
How about the City game? City against Leicester?
I don't know what the fuck's going on, but he's lost the plot.
Yeah, he has.
So quickly. I mean, we started the season by saying the city was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And now he's just tinkering too much. Why are you tinkering so much? He played over almost 40 players in the league. That's more than anybody else.
He likes to tinker.
Stop
Give him
tinkering.
Some time to tinker.
Yeah, but he's
like, what do you like to do, Jose? I like to tinker with the players. I like to tinker here. I like to tinker there.
Yeah, Ranieri is a good
He's a tinkering kind
yeah,
of manager.
Exactly. But that game is just so stupid. What the hell are you doing? I mean, they played straight into their hands. They played exactly how Leicester wanted to play last season.
Yeah.
They got to play this season.
Yeah.
Because the space behind the defense. You give Mahrez and Vardy all the space you can give them if you want to. And they were on fire. And
yeah.
they did terribly tormented them.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, 4-2.
Yeah.
4-0 was a fair result.
Yeah, it was.
Did you guys see the game?
I didn't
see the game, no.
I was
I played
shocked.
Paddle.
Yeah, I was shocked when I was watching. I was like, what is going on? Man, this is terrible. This is very... It's bad in so many levels. Nothing was working.
So what happened?
I mean, first of all, the game started from the kickoff. He had a back three, as he played before. But I think that when they analyze how the players... And they're like, what do you call it? The average formation of where the players were. It looked absolutely stupid. I mean, there were three center half. One of the center was Kolarov. He played midfield. So it's two left in the back. The other fullback was way up. I mean, it was stupid. There was no balance in the team, and they were playing so high upfield with no pressing. So they were playing just long ball through the middle. One time, 1-0. Okay.
Yeah.
3 minutes later, again, 2-0.
Yeah.
50 minutes, again, 4. What the fuck is going on? After and after, again and again
yeah.
and again. And you're like, this team is supposed to win the league. I mean, it doesn't look good. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But,
it doesn't.
But he's lost the plot. And I know that he needs 4 new fullbacks. I mean,
yeah.
I think everybody... discussed that start of the season, he's going to probably buy 4 new fullbacks, all
yeah.
4 of them. They're aged, but he needs something more than that. I don't know what the hell's
yeah,
about.
They're in a really bad spiral right now. So let's see if they, because I see them dropping more points even.
Yeah, I see them now as Tottenham chance of getting in the top 4.
Yeah.
I see United.
Maybe United as
United,
well.
Tottenham, I see the chance now that Chelsea and Arsenal look so strong at the
yeah.
moment. And even with Chelsea, with Arsenal, even when they do falter, you know that they're going to finish top 4. And now they look
yeah.
better than they've done the years to
yeah.
finish top 4. They're going to finish top 4.
Surely top 4, yeah.
And
how about this scenario? Pep Guardiola gets fired. Mourinho also gets fired, and they just switch teams. they just switch.
But then Zlatan also need to switch.
Yeah, yeah, he goes with Mourinho to
yeah.
City next season.
No, I think actually,
how about that?
It's unlikely, but not
impossible.
Not impossible.
It's
yeah.
not impossible that Pep gets fired from City ends up at like United or Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think
they will have a lot of patience with
yeah,
that.
He will
yeah.
not get sacked.
Yeah.
Even if they finish sixth, he won't get sacked. And then this time they're gonna stick.
Yeah.
Because it's
yeah, for at least another year.
Yeah, for at least it's because this is a different kind of approach. I mean, when you get
yeah.
something like a Pep that you know that even if he gets sacked, everybody gonna want you're gonna give him an extra year next. And you know this is not his players. So you
no.
can see that when they play, it's not his players. But we talked about Mourinho earlier in the episodes that he's losing it. But against Tottenham, I think the last couple of games, at least he's trying to change his way of play
yeah.
a little bit. They are pressing way higher. There was an incident in the game. I remember the Mkhitaryan was not pressing, and Herrera just lost it. He was screaming at me, "Go up, you know." Like,
yeah.
like you have to, when I'm pressing, you have to press. So he
yeah.
instilled that mentality in the team. I think Herrera is one of your most, by far, important players.
Yeah,
he is.
When he's performing.
When he's performing,
yeah.
but in this system he's good.
But I just want to stop by Mkhitaryan for a while. I'm so glad to see that player finally contribute in
yeah.
some way, because that is, you know, he has been one of the best players in Bundesliga for years.
Yeah.
And, you know,
absolutely.
But also, that's why United been so bad. Mkhitaryan
yeah.
has been bad,
yeah.
Martial,
yeah.
and
Depay,
yeah.
Pogba.
And
yeah.
all
that's,
of a sudden, this is the front four you played now.
Yeah.
When I saw that, and Carrick and Herrera, I was like, fuck, that is the best front six they have for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Martial on one flank. And the Mkhitaryan one, Pogba behind,
yeah.
slot up front.
Yeah.
And with Herrera, the only one who can play that role is Carrick in that team. Or maybe Schneiderlin, but he's
yeah.
not in the team.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
those are the three only players who can play those positions. Fellaini, for me, can't play that position. You
no.
need an energy of Herrera to put the press on. He's the one that starts the press from midfield.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. He played behind Pogba, but so often when Lloris had the ball, it wasn't only Pogba who was pressing there. It was actually Herrera coming up there
yeah.
because Zlatan doesn't do that.
No.
He doesn't press as much. So Herrera has a big, big, big
yeah, yeah.
job there. He has to cover one and a half players
really good.
pressing.
He was really good.
So that's why he was like forcing my guitar as well. He needs help. He can't do it by himself. True. So I see a bit different in the way they play.
Yeah, and then they need to.
Yeah. So I understand, Martin, because Adil has this... He's really stuck with hating Wayne Rooney. So I just want to hear your thoughts on Wayne Rooney. Maybe, Martin, you can... What's your, like, average thought about Wayne Rooney? Is he finished, or do you think he's still got, like...
I guess he peaked. A while ago.
Yeah.
And now he's just living off of old merits, I believe.
Yeah, so you believe that he's basically finished?
Yeah, well, the
not finished the, on the, that
the
level.
Appearances,
yeah, that's...
The appearances this season...
Yeah,
have been pretty. I mean, they speak for themselves, don't they?
Yeah,
man, they pretty much. I guess he's important through because of experience and because of his role
captain.
In the team. But I guess I think a captain should be like should be the first player selected in the starting 11.
Yeah,
he should be. There should be no question that he makes the team every game.
Yeah,
like otherwise he's not. He's like a backseat captain. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you.
As a professional,
I agree.
Player,
and like next door, maybe in 2 years with his salary, will end up in China because they are the only ones who can afford him.
Yeah. So he peaked. He's not contributing to the team like he should. He's old and may I say, kind of fat.
Well, he's the fatometer
he looks fat, he does, but
he's always looking
he has
that body cost.
He's a former boxer,
but that's the thing, when he was younger he was stocky and strong, he was so strong that he could just fend off defenders
like you were.
Absolutely.
He comes from a family of boxers, I believe.
He used to be strong, but then he kind of lost that, you know...
Loving feeling?
Yeah, because he was never the most technical player. I don't think... He was never...
No.
You know, he wasn't a Messi or Ronaldo. He was great work ethic, very good with the off-the-ball positioning, and he used to, you know, go and tackle, and he used to fend off defenders with his strength, not his dribbling ability.
But he was pretty fast. He used to be fast.
Fast as well. He was powerful.
Yeah, he is.
He was powerful. I think he's just lost his physique a little. He peaked early. Just like Michael Owen, for instance, he peaked very early.
Yeah.
But he also, when he lost his physique, what was left? He wasn't...
Yeah, then it was just an average player.
Yeah, Owen was a great finisher, but he wasn't technically fantastic. He was a great finisher and quick. That was it. When he stopped being quick, what, are you going to have a guy in the box? You're going to have 37-year-old Kevin Phillips you can kick back. But if you want that, I mean, that's ridiculous.
So here is where we disagree, because I don't think Rooney is your average English, kind of. And
enough for United.
But not now. I agree. Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, when it comes to technique, I don't agree that he's like Michael Owen or even Heskey.
He's good, but he's not good enough.
Not now. Okay, I agree.
He's not good enough. That wasn't his forte, that he was the tech. Like, you see, you talk about Messi. Talk about Ronaldo.
But you can't compare.
He was compared to these players like 5 years ago.
He was.
Only in England.
No, across Europe. You see the UEFA games and stuff. No, but he was respected, like even Real Madrid, Barcelona, they kind of talked about the only English player that was good enough was Rooney.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the only one, except for Gerrard and Beckham, Lampard maybe the past 10 years, that had that status that he could come and play for us.
Yeah.
Like,
Bale.
And Bale, but he's not British. Yeah. I mean, he's Welsh. He's not English. English.
Yeah.
So he's British, but English. So as you, as a United supporter, how do you feel?
I think he will just get his salary and then he will end up in Everton or China.
Yeah.
Because I think he, as you say, he's peaked like 2-3 years ago, and I don't think he will make it back into the starting 11.
No.
And he will be on the bench maybe for the rest of the season, and then he will...
I think Mourinho's been clever, to be honest. He's pushed him up, talked him, given chance after chance, because he knew that if he just does the same thing with him as Schneiderlin, that would never work. So he did it with one player. He did it with Schneiderlin.
Schweinsteiger.
And Schneiderlin, actually, both players. But Schweinsteiger, of course. But both of them players, he's kind of ousted out. And those are defensive midfielders, kind of would fit in those two positions, but he doesn't want to play them. He can't really do that with Rooney because he's a legend.
And the captain and everything.
Yeah. So he gave him a chance for two reasons. First of all, maybe he proved himself. And second of all, that when he's done that, give him a chance for the chance, he's failed. Now Mkhitaryan is playing good. Nobody would say that. And even if Martial is the first one out of that four, I would say, you're still putting Rashford in there.
Yeah.
A lot of players.
And then also with the salary, because he makes like the fourth most in the world.
Yeah. So good.
So let's
now
see.
We agree.
Okay.
We all agree except for you.
Okay.
We never agree. yeah, but otherwise there were a Chelsea one again.
Yeah.
I have a Manchester United thing. Just
yeah.
Did you hear about this? They drew Saint Etienne in the Europa League.
Oh,
so,
that happened just now, right?
Have they drawn the Champions League?
Yeah, the Champions League.
Yeah, we have that. But the Europa League, they drew that today as well.
Who's Tottenham play?
What was it? It was here in my feed. But anyway, the the Paul Pogba will face his brother.
His brother
plays at Saint Etienne.
Yeah,
Florentine Pogba
looks.
They look so much the same.
Yeah. I guess he's the older brother, is he?
He's older. He's his older brother. I think he has a little brother as well.
Yeah,
he doesn't play in Etienne.
That's a tricky draw. I think to be honest, and I have been coming to this all the time. United hasn't impressed on me yet.
They haven't.
They've
been a little bit better in the end, but before that they were so only standing still when they played offensive play and in the defense.
It was decent against Tottenham.
They've been better the last
three
4 weeks, but they haven't impressed.
That could be a tough draw.
Yeah, and also that Mourinho said also we want to come to the Champions League.
Yeah,
Europa League. There's nothing they want to win so much.
Yeah,
but Saint Etienne is going to be the game of the season.
Oh yeah, but. If United, okay, so there's a new rule from this season that the winner of the league gets a Champions League spot, and United is not, they're not guaranteed, a top four finish.
No, far from.
Right, exactly. So I think they would, try to get that.
There's
title.
Another problem for English team now. The last season was close for England dropping behind Italy in the coefficients. Now Tottenham didn't make it in Champions League. Southampton didn't make it through the group stage at Europa League. So we have two teams already.
Yeah.
And both Italian teams won their group.
Exactly.
Spot.
And then also Leicester will maybe go out.
And Leicester might
quite
go out
soon.
So if that happens, if Leicester loses, and then maybe City, if they don't go far, we have a problem for English team, and that might mean the next season is three.
But that's okay. So you heard the new rule, right? Okay.
They're gonna change it for
2017, 2018.
Exactly. So that's but that's next year.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So that coefficient
no
will
need
go.
To. Yeah. Exactly. No
that's
need
why
to.
They didn't worry for that.
Yeah.
Tottenham drew against Ghent. Look at that. Yeah. Shitty Belgian team.
Agent, as we call them.
That could be Anders Schiboot.
That's not a shitty
against Tottenham, right?
Agent is... Ghent is not a shitty Belgian. That's actually one of the best. It's Anderlecht, Agent, and then Standard Liège is usually the good teams there.
Yeah.
Club Bruges had a good season last season, but this season not.
Ghent has Omar Colley, former Jugoden defender.
Also,
you played him, right?
Yeah, I played
him.
He's
good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Really fast and really strong.
Yeah.
How
sad we lost him.
That's an interesting question for us to ask, actually, that we forgot. You played last season. We have a couple of players coming through in Allsvenskan, youngsters like Alexander Isak, a lot of players to talk about. Well, do you see, except for him, did you meet anybody that you think is like a youngster, like a 17, 18-year-old, you think this is going to happen?
And this Jesper Karlsson is good.
Yeah.
He went to Elfsborg. He is good. Other ones who are young, I don't know.
Isak,
have
you played him?
Yeah, I played him, and he's also good.
Yeah.
And
is he okay? This is a really good question.
Yeah.
And I think Anders knows this better. Is he that good? No.
You've
been diplomatic, that's fine.
100 million or.
Is he.
Yeah, exactly. Is he Zlatan good? No way.
Is he Zlatan good?
No.
No.
But he's really good.
Yeah.
He will go for at least 70, 80
minutes. And you think it's a good step for him? Going already to a big club when you're 17, 18 years old? Or do you think, because I saw that Aiko is trying to negotiate that,
to get him back
on loan. Sell him, but we get him back 1 year on loan.
I think that's a good deal.
That's a good deal.
I think that would be a really good deal
for everybody.
Yeah.
Both Aiko, for him, and for whoever clubs he goes to.
Talking about these kind of players, do you remember Martin Ødegaard? Did you see him play against
I only read about it
in
the
cup.
Amazing.
He
was good.
He was the best player on the field.
No shit.
He was so good in Norway and the national. They played with their youngsters. Let me just remind you, it was a cup game. It was a cup game, and they were already through. You could say they won 4-1
away. I heard as well that he was like a Copa del Rey game
at home at Santiago Bernabéu.
They were leading with
4-1. But he was amazing. Yeah. Let me tell you, he was amazing.
I read he was great.
You should check that out, because there are some highlights you could see, just the touches. He reminds me of... I'm not going to say Zinedine Zidane. No, not Messi. He's more of a Modric playmaker type of player, but he has that touch that Zidane has.
That's exactly what he's been compared to.
He's amazing. Yeah. Okay, you need to remember that they met like a pretty shitty team, but still.
There were other Real Madrid players in the lineup I saw that could have outshone him.
Yeah, and so Zidane was... He scored once or twice. He was really good as well.
Isn't he a goal? No, that's another one. There's a lot of Zidanes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
One of his kids is a goalkeeper, and Enzo Zidane is an attacking midfield striker.
Oh, okay.
So he's an attacking player. He doesn't look like him at all, but I've seen him play. He's never going to be as good as Zidane. Yeah. For me, Zidane is like my favorite non-Tottenham player for all time. I think he's the most under... That he's... Just because of that headbutt, he's not considered as... Because when you talk about Maradona, Pelé, you always talk about his World Cup merits. Here we have a player who would have won the World Cup, Euros, and then maybe the World Cup again.
Yeah.
Single-handedly, best player in 3 finals, won the Champions League, won the league.
No, he is probably one of the best players.
He made everything look so easy when he played.
He's amazing. I think that was my favorite player.
He's a king. Yeah. You know, there are kings.
Yeah.
And he's one of the kings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Maradona is a king. Pelé is a king.
Yeah, definitely.
Maradona is the king of drugs.
Platini is the king of money.
Yeah, exactly. And Pelé is the king of being a fucking...
It's Game of Thrones all over again.
I don't like Pelé.
Before going to the very interesting CL, bro, let me just like really shortly mention the other leagues. Okay, so I just want to mention, of course, Serie A that I follow. There was a derby between Juventus and Torino. A really entertaining one. Torino should have won that one. But of course, fat Gonzalo Higuain just finishes. He has two or three ball touches the whole game, and two of them goes in. So
that's what they bought him for.
That's the 800 million.
Yeah,
exactly. But he hasn't, before this game, he only scored 7 goals.
Yeah.
And it's like 5th in the, in the scoring league and everything. But
he
just showed his strength, though. And I was really impressed. But
it took him quite many years to come there. Because I feel early in his career, you always felt he's really good. But something is missing for him to be a top.
And then a little like Benzema is the same.
But I think Benzema offers a little bit more...
As a player.
Yeah.
But I think...
But now Higuain is more valuable.
I think Higuain is a better striker.
Yeah, if you look at
it. Agree.
Because
both
of them are supposed to get you goals.
Yeah.
So if Benzema is a bit better average player, but Higuain...
But they play totally different in the two clubs as
Absolutely.
Well.
I think under Zidane, he's happy with the way Benzema plays.
And also coming back to that, because it looked like Juventus was dropping points again.
Yeah.
And, remember when I was here a couple of weeks ago, I told them there's no way Juventus would drop anything.
Yeah, but now all of a sudden...
And today Milan and Roma is playing, Roma-Milan, rather. And they're both 5 points
behind
Juventus. And I think it's a really crucial game. And of course, I'm a Milan fan, but I don't see us winning this game. I think Roma will win it. And if Roma does, they're only 3 points behind Juventus.
Doesn't it all depend also who bought who?
What is this? Oh, do you want to go there? Harry Redknapp. Do you want to go there?
Yeah.
I don't care about it. I'm not defending Premier League over time.
It's corruption all over.
Yeah.
It's corruption, of course.
A sensitive subject. Is this my league as corrupt as your league?
Do you think I take it personally if you go on Red? I don't give a shit about that dog fuck. He looks like a dog and he's a fuck.
What I'm trying to say is there's corruption everywhere. Maybe not so much in Sweden. A little bit. I think, coming back to Jönköping played against... Östersund. Yeah. And we all saw what happened there. So we need to open our eyes. Of course, that wasn't, you know, players involved, but there has been incidents in the Swedish
league.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. With players.
Yeah. Wherever there's money, there's corruption. Come on. I mean.
And, you know, that's... I know this is very controversial, but I kind of like that about Italy. That it's a little bit... You know,
what an idiot.
I like it.
You
like when people buy referees.
No. This is why India and Pakistan is at war. Because you like corruption. This is the only reason. It's people like you. Gandhi is fucking dying his grave all over again.
I don't like corruption.
Yes,
I like the drama around it. I like you know, these figures that has
that
nothing
mean?
To do
that
with football.
That means that you like it.
Adil, just let him keep talking.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
funny. Just let him dig.
No, I'm not going to dig. Okay. Let's move on.
No, you kind of sound like me after I went to Oman on vacation and I came back and people were like, Oman.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They have shitty human rights. And I was like, what about Thailand? Yeah. What about Turkey? Your dictatorship is just as
worth
as my dictatorship.
Yeah,
you sound like me after vacation. When you go to a shitty country.
And you
try to defend it by, your country of vacation is...
But, you know, growing up, I loved The Godfather. I loved Goodfellas. And, you know, the idea of these people handling these clubs, I love it. I just, can you... Joe Pesci in Juventus just killing someone because he didn't pay the right referee or something.
Yeah.
Isn't that a funny picture?
Yeah, send Freddy to run some Mickey Mouse football club.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, then we can go to
fucking dying of the dinosaurs.
Okay, then we can go to this. Good. That could be a rule. I was giving you a question earlier that there's a rule change if you could make. What would it be? So for you, it would be apparently correct.
Yeah, obviously buying
then it's not fun anymore if it's in the rules. Come on.
Okay, what would it be? Have you thought about something?
Yeah, I actually thought about, but maybe this has been discussed before, but, you know, if a player get a yellow card, maybe you need to sit 5 minutes, and that just makes, you know?
Like hockey.
Something at, you know, and maybe it takes... You know, you could have either the direct red card or 3 yellow cards and then you're out, right? But if you have that yellow card, it makes you think twice before you take it because 5 minutes or a couple of, you know, if a team is playing 10 against 11, like 15 minutes a game, that could change the game. So maybe that...
Only 5 minutes can change
right,
the game.
Right. Yeah.
There was a suggestion of a rule change about that when you have an injured player and somebody gets a yellow card. That player gets taken off the game until he's okay to jump back in again.
Yeah.
That, in a sense... Well, not in a sense. That definitely gives the injured team a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So the rule change proposal was to let that one player from the other team sit out as long as the injured player from the opposing team
we had a situation.
Is off the field.
Yeah.
Almost like this when I played in Syrianska. Yeah. We played AIK away. And one player, they had done all their three changes. Uh-huh. And a player in our team kick Victor Lundberg in the head.
Oh.
Yeah. So he gets out and you can see that the referee is holding the yellow card.
Yeah.
But then the trainers yell at them, it's the third change, we can't put anyone in. And then he changes and give him a red card.
Oh, okay. But that's
I don't know if I think it's wrong if you look
at it. Of course it's wrong. Yeah. If he did for that reason, it's wrong.
Yeah, but you can see like on YouTube that he holds the yellow card and they talk to him and then he puts the red card.
Oh,
so then we play 10 against 10 the last 10 minutes.
All right.
But that is a good rule change though, because I do agree that if that happens and somebody injured somebody and they only get a yellow, and even if they hasn't made the three substitutions, I think during that time, if he's gone for 4 minutes, they should be able to put somebody for the bench in for 4 minutes.
Yeah, either that or have played 10 against 10.
Yeah, either 10 against 10. But that's not a problem, because then the opposition team can choose who they want to remove from field. If I could,
what about the player who's involved in the incident?
Okay, that's a good one as well.
So you don't have a choice, really.
We had almost the same when we played Djurgården last year, and we lead with 2-0, and we killed them in the first half. And then Johan Bertilsson gets his eyebrow crushed, so he starts to bleed, and he's afraid of nails. So it takes like 15 minutes.
Oh my god.
So like for the last 50 minutes in the first half, we're playing 10 men, and we are yelling at the coaches, need to put
at
someone.
Home?
Yeah,
is
at home.
Yeah.
So the first 25, 30 minutes, we are so good. In the last 50 minutes, we just run and just defend our goal.
Yeah.
And luckily, we win the game in the end. But in the second half, we were so tired. They killed us.
Oh, my God.
And everything because of...
50 minutes is a long time.
Yeah. And you kill everything we had. We started really good, and then we were 10.
Yeah.
And they get to play 11 against 10.
Yeah.
And he were afraid of nails.
Actually, that's some good idea. Do you have any rule change you want to implement?
Oof. I have one rule that is... I would say it's fucked up. When the goalkeeper has a goal kick, and if he puts a short one to the defender and they put high pressure, then he can just go inside the box. If he touches it, you get to do it all over again.
Yeah,
you get the ball again.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you see, they put pressure, I go inside, I take it. And
Alessandro
then,
Nesta always did this.
Yeah, and then you get to start over.
Yeah.
It should be like free kick for the other team.
Yeah. I had no idea.
And you get to start all over again.
Yeah. I agree.
I remember because they haven't done this for years now in the Premier League either. How exactly it does work? So if he has a goal kick
or a free kick inside own penalty area, then the ball needs to be played outside. If someone takes it before,
the penalty area line.
Otherwise,
it needs to cross it.
So if Nesta, for instance, if I take it.
Yeah, if you see that the strikers are attacking, then just take one step into the penalty area.
Putting in line.
And there's no caution, nothing.
No.
Basically, you could. I haven't seen this
time waste.
Time waste.
Yeah, but I'm guessing the.
Yeah, like the second or third time.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you can get a yellow card quickly. But what you can do is that as soon as you see them applying pressure, you just do that
to
make them run.
Nesta always,
you have to go back.
That's
and
what he
run.
Said. That's what Nesta does.
Nesta does this. Did that.
But you can take the energy.
And I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Because they don't get pressure.
Yeah, if you do that four times within 15 minutes, that's four extra runs for. I mean, that, you know, four bursts extra. You know how they count their, you know, running as well. I don't think that's not efficient at all.
No,
and it's really strange that you get to do it all over again.
That should
be a free kick.
That's good. Actually, so many.
But
good.
You know, actually, what happens when you do that four or five times? The crowd starts calling you a cunt.
Yeah. So I think it's not doing it after the first time.
Yeah,
I actually think after the first time it'll be that way. But football fans are like that, isn't it? Like Danny Rose had an altercation yesterday with United, but the rest of the game they booed him. It was like absolutely, it was like, what the fuck? It's like 25 minutes ago, just one incident.
Yeah.
Booed him. Every time it's
like, Gordon does that too at opposite the side where I sit. They just find a player on the line on the side and they just fucking torment him for the rest of the game. It just doesn't matter what happens. They just need to find a reason to torment him and they boo whenever he gets
because I always go to the Djurgården's games as well. And you know, when they was the last year at Stockholm Stadion, they were playing Mjällby, and one of the guys in Mjällby
with his pair.
No, not that. Not that one. No. I know that as well. But there was a player, I don't remember his name, but he was number 7. And he had like this ponytail. And the whole crowd started singing, number seven has an ugly cut. Number seven has an ugly cut. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this, right? And they had this famous about Henrik Rydström's wife as well. Have you heard that one?
No,
you've heard that.
I've heard, but I don't know.
Together with someone else.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Now, so there's been a couple of, you know, really kind of funny, but also, you know, on the verge of stupidity. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, but
I love it.
I think the worst time is, though, I had a couple of guys coming to a bar where I was working across the street here where we're at. And they used to go to Oiko games.
Yeah.
They used to come and drink after work quite often, you know, two times a week. They used to come in and have a few beers. And this time they go into Oiko game. Apparently in this hockey game, I think I've told this story way long ago, but this guy, there's a player in the hockey team, right? A sex video has come out.
Okay.
When he's with his girlfriend.
Oh, Jan Hukko.
Yeah.
The dildo video.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorites. Yes.
Oh, that was classic.
But the funny thing, the funny horror thing.
I don't know, I haven't seen it.
You gotta tell a story about the dildo video.
Yeah.
There's not much of a story. There was a phone video that came out on the internet with him just fucking himself with a dildo.
Fucking himself.
So listen, he's done that, right?
Yeah, so that was on the internet.
Yeah, that was on the internet. It was there. So obviously
time they played Oiko,
Did you know what happened then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So these guys are sitting there. They're like, yeah, we're going to this Oiko game, right? And they tell this dildo story. I was like, oh, I didn't know it was like that. They're like, yeah, so we have these things with it. And they're like, the car, they're carrying full of fucking balloons, it looks like. And it's all dildos, but blown up with balloons and real dildos. So I don't know where the
So they had they had like a dildo tifo.
Yeah.
For him.
So the first time he entered the ice, they just went, now! And they just fucking tossed dildos out on the ice. They had to stop the game and rake dildos by the fuckload. Like, they need to stop the game for 10 minutes just to rake dildos off the ice.
Apparently, it took it quite well. I've heard.
Yeah, he took it in.
He's still alive, so he took it well, I guess.
Yeah.
He
took it up, How did his mother take it?
Well, maybe not say he did, but hopefully.
No, that was the best.
There's another video.
Yeah, it's another video.
That was the best TIFO ever. The dildo TIFO of 2007.
That is one of the harshest ever, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty harsh.
Yeah. That was brutal.
There's so many questions, but I won't.
They had in the Belgian league as well, actually, where this Sander Liège player went to Anderlecht as well, but they instead made like dolls and shit. We're gonna kill you. They like knives on his head. It was like really like, whoa, that's way too aggressive.
For what reason?
Because he came back to Belgium, but he didn't go back to Sandard Liège. He went to the worst competitor.
I see. So it was like a Figo situation.
Yeah, exactly. It was exactly like a Figo situation. Or Limpar, for instance, when he was supposed to come back to Sweden, go to Djurgården instead, and he didn't play there because Oiko fans threatening, or was he?
Because
he was an ex-Oiko player.
Yeah.
And he came back, he signed for Djurgården. During that time when they already had that good set of players, he was supposed to come back. And then they threatened so much that he signed the contract, but before the season started, they ended the contract.
Yeah.
Right. That's supportive power in the wrong way.
That's a little bit like now Djurgården with this Broa Nori from Östersund.
Yep.
He played for Oiko when he was younger.
I played with him in Grandal.
You did. Okay, cool.
When he was on loan, and I was on loan also there.
So. I think, was it the last game at home when they had this banner up, like he would not play another minute or 1 minute?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we always discuss.
So they what's the status now with him?
He signed for Östersund.
He's not coming?
No.
Oh, okay.
And now they're discussing if they're going to pay him something, or I don't know if he's going to sue them or...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a fucked up situation.
As supporters, I think as supporters, we always have this, oh, he can't go there, he can't go there, he shouldn't go there, he wouldn't... But as a player, I mean, do you even... Is it that completely different for you?
A little bit, but it's not. Because I played in Syrianska for 4 years, I wouldn't go to Assyriska.
Okay.
It is like that.
I wouldn't.
Course,
okay. Because, the players who do, they don't.
But okay,
they hate
can,
them
I,
really
can
much.
We ask you which team in Stockholm you supported as young or now, or is that too sensitive? Okay, maybe you shouldn't answer that one.
Now don't do that. Don't.
Young, it doesn't.
Now I'm blinking again. My eyes.
Yeah. don't. Well, no.
Blink twice.
Oh yeah, maybe the effect is some way. I'll forget it.
Let me ask you this: you're from
so weird
you're from North Stockholm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No further.
I'll rest my case, Your Honor.
Lived in Sundbyberg for 3 years.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
We got it.
Good. I love this now. It's fine. Well, actually, when I grew up, the local team for me was
Lahore.
Oh, was Hugo, actually. Yeah. But the sole reason for that, I think today wouldn't have been, because where I grew up, it was Norvik, and it should have been maybe AIK. But I've said this before in the pod, the reason was because where I lived, we moved from Ashton to Norvik, and we were the only immigrant group, but there was a lot of Nazis there living in the 90s, and all of them were AIK supporters. So I thought when I was 10, that AIK was the Nazi... Nazi club. That's what. And now I understand it's not that way, but it's kind of still in the back of your head.
Yeah.
I still don't like.
They're not
Nazis overall. I mean, I still, because I've supported, when I was young, I supported Hugo. You know, it was my second team. It was always Tottenham number one. But because when you're 18, I can't travel to London and watch games as I could do when I got older.
Yeah.
I used to go to watch live football. I used to go to Stadion and watch Hugo and play. I saw like two seasons in a row with like season ticket holders. So I've seen a lot of games for Hugo. So for that reason, but now I don't care really. If you're going to play Hammarby, Hammarby wins. I think good for Hammarby.
Yeah.
Good for them. I know a lot of people who's Hammarby support.
Good
I live in
business for you.
I live in Sölden, It's kind of, I live in Sölden. Well, hey, Hammarby wins. I noticed that. When Hammarby wins, you can see, because I live straight on Folkungagatan, you hear them singing and stuff like that. When they lose, not as happy, but still fine.
They fuck my street up, though.
They're good supporters, man. I gotta give Hammarby fans, whatever you talk about, different supporters, they don't have the same bullshit as a lot of teams have. They have a lot of these non-football fans that they don't even know what's going on. But you know what? They're happy. There are a lot of people on the ground. If you go see Hammarby game, you know it's gonna be 12,000 people. At least you'll get that. You know, it's fine. The football still
got... Yeah, I think even Superettan made them better, the fans.
Because then
they didn't care about the football.
Exactly, they don't care about the football.
No, then they started only to cheer for the team.
Yeah, I have a lot of Hammarby fans. They go to the Hammarby Dagen, Bayern Dagen as it's called. They play like bowling. And you know, Hammarby Dagen is all about just drinking. It's nothing about the activities. But they go bowling, they go to the bandy, they go to everything. So it's more of a, you know, kind of, I don't want to call them a sect, but so I'm not doing that.
Kind of just did.
Let's go to the CM draw.
Let's just finish this off with the Champions League draw, so we won't just forget that.
I have a rule.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this? do we have time?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Here's my rule. Like a suggestion. Maybe I haven't thought about this like completely through, but maybe like, let's talk about it. Okay, imagine the penalty area, right?
Yeah.
The upper corners of the penalty area. Imagine if you would draw like a line all across the field. So that makes a complete line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like a square in the end, yeah?
So the upper line of the penalty area is just a line that goes all the way through to the long sides. Behind that line, the offside rule just ceases to... You no longer apply the offside rule.
So if somebody offside
after that line, when you're attacked...
In that corner only?
No. All across the penalty area. That section of the field, the offside rule no longer applies.
So because I figure they're standing there all game.
Yeah, exactly.
No. The ball needs to be inside that line, but you can still pass the ball forward.
Because I figured
when you're in possession of the ball in that area,
it's like ice hockey. It's like ice hockey.
It's like.
But you need to get into the area without offside, and when you're there, then you take the offside away.
Yeah. Because I figured when you have possession in that area, I mean, you still have it. You have 20 players.
Yeah.
So the offside rule inside that area is bullshit anyway.
But I think they missed that more often, and they talk that about it. Sometimes I'd like to see it, but I agree with you. I think it's so stupid when that happens.
Yeah.
You pass it to a free play in front of the goal, and then it's offside because he's 1 centimeter in front of you.
Yeah.
And because the ball is traveling forward and not backward. It is stupid.
You remove or you take away goal chances.
That
could just as easily be, forget the offside rule.
There's only one thing. Because then, theoretically, you could just put a player in front of the goalkeeper.
No.
And when you take a shot,
but
you could basically just obstruct him without basically, you know,
no,
getting a free
that's
kick.
That's not what they say. I mean, no. The ball needs to be played still
yeah,
outside.
So,
if that's the penalty area, but if he shoots outside of the penalty area and he obstructs him, then it's offside.
No, but if you're inside the penalty, so
yeah, but
then
the ball is shot. It's also when the ball is hit. So if he's outside the penalty area, hits the ball.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's basically exactly like ice hockey.
Yeah, it's like the blue line in hockey.
Because then you can basically, you know,
cover the goal. If you get into the area, you should just put 2-3 players around the goalkeeper.
Yeah, exactly.
Then he can't throw himself.
There is one goal.
They should do test games with that rule.
Yeah, exactly.
See how it works out.
At least
in FIFA.
Yeah, that's true. In FIFA, it should be.
You can YouTube that goal, actually, if you haven't seen it. But Cristiano Ronaldo is a friendly against Portugal against Spain. Portugal absolutely kills Spain a couple of years ago. He does a solo effort on the left, Ronaldo. It's like a Zlatan goal.
I know which goal you're meaning.
And then he chips the ball in. It's above everybody. It's on its way into goal. And from nowhere, Nani comes flying in just when the ball is across the goal. He heads it. And he's offside. Ronaldo is furious.
He gets top 10 goals he's ever scored.
That is by far probably the best goal he has scored.
Exactly.
I think that is the best goal he's scored. It's unbelievable.
The Portsmouth goal, though.
It's one of the best goals.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's against the world champion. It's a friendly, but it's against the world champion.
Yeah.
Even if it's a friendly, Portugal, Spain, it's not a friendly.
Yeah.
Never a friendly. And he does that, so you can.
But it's a good rule. It's a good rule.
Yeah, it could work.
Yeah,
I like it.
It could.
Yeah.
We have changed the. Okay, that's last but not least.
Let's go to the
Champions
draw.
League draw. If you haven't seen it, we just go through it quickly and we can comment afterwards. Manchester City, Monaco, Real Madrid, Napoli, Benfica, Borussia Dortmund, Bayern Munich, Arsenal, Porto, Juventus, Bayer Leverkusen, Atletico Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona, and Sevilla, Leicester.
What a draw.
As usual for Arsenal.
Yeah, that's true.
Always Bayern Munich or Barcelona.
And you know what? Arsenal wasn't supposed to win the group. It looked like PSG, so they would have met, you know, theoretically they would have met Barcelona again. So now I'm like, what is this? It's like, that would be like the fourth straight year in a row, right?
And the years before it's Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
It's always.
Yeah.
They usually end up there.
Should we just go through what we think, and maybe we could do, like, if you take the first game, maybe you could just guess on the second, you on the third, and just go.
Yeah, yeah.
You can start. City against Monaco.
I mean, the thing is that Monaco has a good team now. They're playing well. I wasn't overly impressed even when they played Spurs. We were terrible the both games.
Yeah.
They weren't great against Leverkusen either. They weren't even great against CSKA Moscow. Everybody in that group just flaunted game after game, and we flaunted all games. I believe if City come back to little winning ways, I think they have easier in the Champions League because of the way they play. So I think City's going to still progress there. I do.
Yeah.
I do think they're going to do that.
Any other thoughts on that?
No. Manchester City are going to get killed. Monaco's not doing that bad.
No, they are.
And they're
good.
They have so many young players.
And they're starting.
I'm telling you, you have to, in a couple of years, you'll see a lot of French players coming from French League.
Yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain doesn't have that many youngsters, but Monaco has quite a few players. Every time you see a young player coming from France, he's in the Monaco Academy at the moment. They spend their money very wisely the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Only not a big players. They have a lot of money, but they played a lot in the academy. So you're going to get some good players coming from
Guardiola Monaco. Will tinker the fuck out of that.
Okay, you take Real Madrid Napoli then.
Oh, Real Madrid is pretty good. They're good. What I'm hoping for is who's playing the first game?
It's Real Madrid,
Real Madrid at home.
Yeah.
So I hope they win like 1-0.
Yeah.
And then the next game will be like the crowd will be go crazy.
Yeah.
And put fucking pressure.
And Napoli has probably one of the best, you know, when it comes to atmosphere and everything, it's one of the biggest arenas.
Yeah,
they're crazy.
I hope they overperform and the crowd overperforms.
But they are going to play against a Real Madrid team that just broke the record for their club record, 35 games without losing.
Yeah.
So what do you see Real Madrid going through? Is that your guess?
Yeah, but I'm just hoping for an an amazing game too.
Yeah,
but of course they go. They're going all the way to the finals.
Yeah. The thing with Real Madrid, they only don't look good in a way sometimes. They look hard to beat.
Yeah,
35 games.
Yeah, even when they played Barcelona, they weren't so good.
Yeah, they look hard to beat. Zidane instilled that. I think the formation is he's gone defensively more and more, and it's working great. I think the first thing he did with Casemiro was good, and now you see Modric. He's just found a place for him as well, another place for him.
I also think Real Madrid will go through, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I think Napoli, depending on their form, because that's one of those teams, when they have their high, it's a little bit like Tottenham.
Yeah.
When they have their high levels, they can beat like whichever team in the world. So I think it will be...
Napoli's a bit similar to Tottenham.
Yeah, they are.
But if Real Madrid win the first game 4-0, it's over.
It's a bit boring.
Yeah.
Benfica, Borussia Dortmund.
I've only seen Dortmund twice. It was against Real Madrid. And the first game, I was really impressed with them.
Yeah.
I think they killed them, but Real ended up with a draw. They don't lose anyway.
Exactly.
So I say Dortmund, because I watched also Benfica when I played Napoli in the Champions League. I wasn't so impressed by them.
No.
They played with such a high line in the defense,
and
Napoli killed them.
And of course, the only Swede left in the Champions League, they have Lindelöf playing regularly.
But
which
if
is
they play that
team.
Way against Dortmund, then they're going to get slaughtered.
Yeah, then
that's a team you can't play like that.
No.
Aubameyang and all the other wingers coming through, they're so quick on the break, Dortmund. So quick on the break.
Yeah, and Benfica, they score on a really bad mistake from Napoli, so I wasn't so impressed.
No,
talk about Lindelöf. How good is Lindelöf?
I think he's really good.
Is he Manchester United good?
Ooh, that's
he's
a good...
He's linked now to United quite a
lot. Yeah, I know. And United has...
Is
the defense hasn't
United
been so good.
Lindelöf good? That's a question.
That's a good question.
But they have Semedo as well. And Benfica, we'll talk about there are a lot of scouts in Benfica in the weekend watching three of the players.
Yeah.
With Lindelöf, one of them, Semedo, the other, the winger, is very, very good as well.
Yeah.
And talks about like 20 odd clubs were there apparently. I mean, a lot of clubs were there. I mean, so we don't know.
And especially what is done in the Champions League is really impressive.
Yeah.
Because in the league, Benfica is a top team and win almost every game. But in Champions League, it's also really good.
But that's why I think the Porto and Benfica, they exploit so many players because they play good in the league, but then they always do good in Champions League.
Exactly.
They go to the second round and then you think, why can't I buy a player from this who can compete with the big teams here? He could be great here, and then they usually end up buying the players for 30 million odd.
Yes.
But they're so good at producing good players for other European clubs.
Instead of maybe Celtic, who win the league every year, but they are never so good in Champions
exactly.
League.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's a good friend.
Going forward, Bayern Munich, Arsenal. Of course, Arsenal again, you know, hitting the wall, I would say. But, you know, looking to the previous meetings, I don't think it's a good fit for Bayern Munich to play Arsenal, because Bayern Munich loves ball possession, and so does Arsenal. Still, I think, you know, the first kind of leg is really important. If Arsenal gets to score at least like one goal, maybe they're still in it. But overall, I think Bayern Munich is, one of the contenders for the whole shebang. And I don't see Arsenal being. I'm not impressed with Arsenal. I'm never impressed by Arsenal. So
it's an odd team. They never seem to win the biggest teams.
Yeah.
But they do very well against everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if a team is
but that tells a story.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been their problem. And we've seen this for years now, Arsenal.
Yeah.
It's only 1 year they made it to the final against Barcelona when they were close to winning, leading 1-0.
Yeah.
When Hendrik Larsson came in and made a fantastic substitution.
Two assists. Yeah.
Since then, they've never beaten a one of the bigger teams in Europe.
No.
I mean, we've seen year after year, they've never beaten one of the big ones to progress. So, of course, if you look statistically, there's no way they're going to win that game. But if you look like how the seasons are going, Bayern Munich are flaunting a little bit, not playing perfect at all, and Arsenal is having one of the better seasons. So if there's one chance, some year, maybe it's this year. But
budget-wise, isn't Arsenal like a fifth or sixth like richest team in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do we see them as a shitty little small club?
It's because they own us as well.
And they have a really good economy.
Yeah.
Like they're the only team.
It's more like
a
business
than
a football club.
Yeah.
They're not spending these huge amounts. And when they do, they always take this weird decision of buying another midfielder.
Yeah,
come on, you need a fullback. You need a striker for 10 years.
I mean,
for some reason, there hasn't been one good striker.
Yeah.
Arsenal's one of the weirdest run clubs.
It's so true.
Fans are so upset with because they know that we have a great platform. They're not going to have a new stadium. It's already built. Those years are gone. They had those years when they didn't spend much money. That's why Wenger was unbelievable. He didn't spend much money at all. Wiltord, as I said many times, was the highest transfer for years, and that was 10 million. 10.9 million was for years. I mean, way after he was bought. 6-7 years maybe.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable. They didn't spend over that any time.
Then they got the new stadium.
Yeah, they got Ray. Then they got the new stadium, and then it's like, now we can't spend. And they did on one or two players, Sanchez. Did he spend on that? That was Lauren for that shit. So, and after that, they just run out of business. The owners are doing great. They were raking money because they're not overspending. They're taking their wing cut. But as you see in Chelsea and City, they don't do that. They spend those
money. They
don't
splash.
At PSG, they spend those money. At Real Madrid, Barcelona, you have to spend those money. United, they spend the money. But Arsenal don't spend the surplus. They don't. And that's why the fans are absolutely insane that we got a good team, but if we spend as they do, which we can, we have the same platform of money, then we will win it. That's what they think and believe, and that's what...
I'm still mad they didn't get Icardi. He's one of the best strikers out there.
So expensive.
No, but still, if you want to go...
Yeah, but they won't go for it. They want for Paris, because it's a cheap choice.
Yeah, I know. And I need like 2-3 really big transfers to be a top 5 team.
Yeah, that's true.
In the world.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're doing it very, very slowly. They're adding one player a season. And
and only a midfielder.
Yeah, and then Cech was the first one that did at least one position.
Yeah.
And then I think that Mustafi, they need a center off for years.
Yeah.
And he's at least, accomplished defender.
He's a decent one.
He's a decent one. So far, he looked good. Now we got injured, but so far, he looked good. And then central midfield, he just bought many cheap options.
Shaka.
He got El Neni. He got Shaka is decent, but he's not...
It's not at Arsenal level.
It's not going to give them anything
that
they already have.
Not that I want. I'm not an Arsenal supporter. But if I was Arsenal, I would want back to where they were good, the midfield, when they had that. First and Patrick Vieira finished. Gilberto Silva took over. They were a sturdy defensive midfielder.
They lost Kante, to be honest, just in the to Chelsea.
Lost?
Yeah,
did
they could have...
Did he go for that offer him?
I don't know.
He would have been the perfect player. Did he go for him? No. He could offer Champions League football. It's not like Kante said, I would never go to Arsenal.
No.
He didn't go for him. He should have just picked him up and they would have won the league.
That's true. Maybe. Yeah, no, not winning.
Okay, what are we doing?
Porto, Atletico Madrid. It's you.
Porto, Juventus, sorry.
Even if Juventus is doing bad now, I still don't see them not doing that. I think where Juventus is just so sturdy, especially in the Champions League. And that's where they actually have the record with Conte undefeated in Europe. So I think they will go through that. Porto is a good team.
Yeah.
But Juventus is one of those big ones who always go through.
Yeah.
They find a way.
Yeah. So let's keep Bayer Leverkusen and.
Have you seen their new stadium? Have you? Any of you been there?
Juventus.
Yeah.
No.
Have you been there?
No, I want to see it.
Yeah, I've heard it's amazing, and of course, I go to Italy a lot, but I've never been to the Juventus Stadium. Yeah.
All right. You go to San Siro?
Always.
Are they getting a new stadium?
Maybe. It was basically decided that Milan is building a new, but then it just didn't get the...
Oh, the Chinese deal didn't go through.
It's not through yet as well.
The Chinese connection.
And you know what? It was also just coming to this as well. They recently, Saccheroni went out and said, I asked people in China and no one knows about these investors. So now speculations are going that this was just...
No.
Yes, I'm not kidding you. This is all over in Italian media that Berlusconi just did this to shit on people or just okay, something is happening, but nothing is going to happen. Berlusconi will die with this shit.
So what you said for a month ago, you were screaming here about you buying every player in the world. I'll play it back next episode. He's literally screaming that.
We're still second in the league, man.
But did he do it to raise the club's value? Or
screaming, pointing at us.
Maybe. I'm not sure what's happening. Come on. I'm not sure what's happening. I also told these guys, 2 months ago, when Chelsea was number 4, Chelsea will win the Premier League. I just wanna remember
yourself?
That, listeners. Yeah, that was me.
He called it.
Okay, I killed the baby.
But
when it was green light, I walked. So that's okay. I did one good thing.
But let's see what happens. Milan is a joke right now, but we're still second in the league, so something to cheer about. But let's see. Okay, moving on from Porto, Juventus, by Leverkusen, Atletico Madrid.
Martin?
Atletico,
your team.
No fucking idea.
You play in Atletico Madrid.
Huh?
You play in Atletico Madrid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that whole fucking thing.
What?
No, it's... because Juan Fran, every time, every fucking night they play.
Oh, that's too similar. That's too close.
Every fucking night they play, I get tweets like, "Oh, you're on the television. Yeah, oh, good luck tonight." Good when they warm up.
But it's a good player.
At around like 8:20, 8:30, tweets are starting to roll in before we kick off. Like, good luck tonight, buddy.
Okay, so for that reason, you need to say Atletico Madrid, right?
Yeah, well, okay. Who are they playing? Bayer Leverkusen? I don't even know who the fuck they are.
German team.
Yeah.
I mean they've
gone to the like quarterfinals the last like two or three.
They've been
seasons,
in the finals,
right?
They've been in the finals.
Yeah, but I mean at least quarterfinals
in
the last
and two
three,
of the last 3 years in
three
the
or four seasons. So I mean they're an experienced Champions League team now.
Yeah.
And so yeah, and I haven't seen Bayer Leverkusen and on that level in the last few years.
No.
So fuck those guys. I'm going to go with Atletico Madrid.
That's a good choice. I think
Tottenham surely. Out of the group. That was good.
Yeah.
But then the tie of the round?
I think so, yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona?
Both teams are a little bit out of shape, I would say. But I still think PSG won't have so much to say in that game. I think Barcelona is going to win with 2-0 in the first game, and then we'll just kill them in the home game. I'm not so impressed by PSG this year.
No. It's surprising. A lot of people are expecting a new manager coming in that something could happen. But it's just think
but also they buy like this Krychoniak and like players who are not... They are good players, but they're not like...
No.
Do they miss Zlatan?
Yes.
I mean, too much?
Yeah, or like a simple
Cavani
one.
Is still scoring, right? Yeah. But there's something missing, you know, in the final third when Zlatan is not there, and there it's
and
basically looking to the big teams. PSG is probably the most untouched this season, right? It's almost the same starting 11 as last year, and if you remove, you know, the glue from that formation, then you basically just have shatters. Also, I think there's a problem with Unai Emery. Of course, he did a great job with Sevilla.
Fantastic job.
But I still think he's... I hate to say this, but he's still unproven at this, you know, highest level. So I think that was...
Sevilla, winning the Europa League, playing Champions League.
I don't think Sevilla has been, you know, the top 10, one of the top 10 clubs in Europe, and taking over this responsibility with all the pressure and the media you get, whereas in Sevilla you can still be a little bit in the shadow if you're in a Sevilla role. You can admit that, right?
I understand, but if you would have had like a coach like Pochettino goes to PSG,
yeah,
you were talking about that he wasn't experienced enough to take over a team like PSG. I mean, because he's early in his career, it's the same thing with Emery. He's been to bigger clubs.
I would say yes to that.
Okay.
I would say that.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure that if they go out against Barcelona, I think we will see Mancini there sooner or later. And I don't like Mancini, but he's the only one that could handle the situation. Because, I don't know, did you see the game against Nice yesterday where they had the chance to, you know,
I mean,
you know, the gap. They could basically just won that game and just go on with their lives, and now things are back in order, and they were a disaster.
But isn't that the problem? Even if you say that he wasn't experienced enough to take over that job, it's one thing to say that because all PSG wants to do is get a coach in, they can perform in Champions League, because they kind of seen the last couple of seasons, we're just going to win the league. But now Emery come, and they're even struggling in the league. So, I mean, is he not experienced enough to take over a team that should be walking through the league? Not walking, because, you know, there's good teams there as well. But with the money and the pressure they've had...
Yeah, they should win the league.
They should have been the league.
Yeah.
Even Monaco has pumped in some money.
Yeah.
They haven't pumped in anywhere near PSG for as long as they've done. Because it's been a couple of years. So I agree with you, he's not maybe experienced for the Champions League level and that play. But isn't he experienced enough to take over a PSG in the league?
Yeah, he should.
I mean, Laurent Blanc had only had the national team and, like, what? No experience.
Now winning with a couple of goals at home at almost every kind of, you know, opponent you have is a different sort of pressure, even in the league, right? And that's what I'm thinking.
Okay,
I'm
not sure. He's not Brendan Rodgers.
And I still think, given the Barcelona that I've seen this year, it's not good. And I'm coming back to these strange kind of players and what they're doing. I don't see a plan at Barcelona at all right now. So I think this could be tough. I think both teams, as you said, are out of form.
Out of shape.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the way PSG plays...
On the night it's going to be decided. It could be...
When they played like two years ago...
PSG need to rely on Verratti.
They really need to. And when he's
on form, the best player by a mile. Yeah, if he's the most important player.
And we want him at Milan, surely.
I think
he goes to Barcelona.
Maybe. That's a good guess.
Are they going to sell Rakitic or who's he going to replace?
Iniesta goes in one, two years.
And to be honest, they're late with putting a player. That's why when Modric went to Real for years, I always said that Modric should go to Barcelona.
It was
the natural choice for him to go to Barcelona. I've seen him playing Tottenham for years, and we all agree that he's our best player for a decade.
Yeah.
Even when him and Bale was playing, Modric was the better player for us.
Yeah.
Then Bale exploded offensively, but for us, Modric was the best player we've had for a long, long time. And the way he played, that was only similar to the way Iniesta plays, Xavi plays, that he's not maybe the most dribbler, but they hold the ball in a different way.
Exactly.
And that's why Zidane must like him. He plays like him. I mean, he plays a bit like him when he's holding the ball, using the small stature player, but you could never get the ball out of him, even the Premier League.
Yeah.
It was just such a natural choice, and Verratti is similar to that.
Yeah, and exactly like in Barcelona, Rakitic and Arda Turan and the players now, they're not in the same.
No, they are not.
Verratti is
a much better fit than Rakitic is, maybe, for Barcelona.
Because he's a good player, but it's not like Xavi and Iniesta.
No, exactly.
And they need that one who can't lose the ball.
So you're saying Verratti is on the level of Xavi and Iniesta?
He could be.
He could be, because you know that they will never get Modric right now.
No, it's impossible.
And the second best, I would say, is Verratti.
Yeah, really?
I think that's the problem. It's not an easy position. You don't see many midfielders who can play deep, advanced, or in the middle.
Short and long and everything. Yeah. It's like Modric.
Depending on the formation. I think Modric, you can put in so many positions in a formation. It's unbelievable. You can play a deep counter-attacking. You can play an advanced. You can play him advanced behind the striker even. And for instance, with Rakitic, I think he's a completely different player. He's more of a... You take him for steel. You put him in for steel. For more of the ball-winning qualities of an attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
Than you get
and
from,
he goes through to the box and scores some goals. And,
exactly.
And Arda Turan is... Extremely strange choice for Barcelona to play.
Yeah.
Because if you put Arda Turan in Barcelona, you're supposed to play on a wing. And who's he going to take
away? And he's too slow to play there in Barcelona.
For me, he's not a wing player in that kind of wing play. He can play a wing play in Atletico Madrid.
In a 4-4-2.
Or we're high-pressing the way they play. It's compact. Yeah. It's more counter-attacking. But in Barcelona, we're supposed to take the game by... He had a great game last week.
Scored a hat-trick.
But still, it's not that player. None of them are like Xavi or Iniesta. They haven't bought anybody for years for that. Busquets has come through as a good passer. Alcantara, Thiago, they sold early to Bayern Munich. After that, they haven't bought any of those kind of players.
They rely on the Barca playing style that people will come from the youth section.
But they are not.
They've been missing Xavi now for all the season.
Yeah, they have.
And you can see.
Yeah, exactly.
And Iniesta is also getting older.
Yeah, he is. But still, he makes a difference.
Yeah, he's so good when he's playing, but... In two years, I just want to predict.
I always, Anders and Martin, I always predict like stupid things in this pod. So I'm going to predict that PSG knocks Barcelona.
Right now,
that's my feeling. That's my gut feeling.
I say Barcelona win with at least 3 goals.
Let's follow up on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Just the last game quickly, Sevilla, Leicester City.
Yeah. Okay. Leicester looking good, better. Maybe City making them better than they are, but still. They have something at home when it comes to like big games. I still feel it, like
nah.
No, but okay. Listen, I think it's not okay. I think Leicester will go out. I think so because Sevilla at home.
It's not 100%, of course.
No, and I think we should give them the benefit of the doubt.
60-40.
Yeah. 60-40 is 70-30, I would say.
Yeah, Sevilla is worse.
But it's good if they let Sevilla have the ball, they can play like they want. And
yes, exactly.
Go on counter-attack.
And that's basically... But the difference between Sevilla and a lot of other Spanish teams are that Sevilla is a lot more straighter.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would make life, I think, a little bit harder for Leicester. But no, let's not count them out. I think it's a pretty good draw for both teams, if you could say that.
I think both teams would have wanted that. Especially Sevilla.
Yeah.
For them, they could have gotten way worse than Leicester.
That's the easiest one by far.
But I think Leicester is thinking almost... They're thinking, okay, Sevilla, out of all of these second one, we could have got like Real Madrid, we could have got Bayern Munich and PSG, you know. Sevilla is one of those they would have picked.
Yeah, it is definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
We've been, this is a monster long pod now, so I think we're done for today. If somebody doesn't want to add anything special?
I just want to add that the final game of the Europe League is played at Friends Arena.
Yeah.
And let's just hope for Man United.
Because
Zlatan is coming home.
Yeah, let's hope for that.
And I hope for a shitty team in Belgium.
Yeah. Get your agent on it.
Yeah. I will call him right away.
Like, give me a shitty Belgian team.
I can make the finals. I want to play in front of my parents and stuff in my family.
Ghent, maybe? Beating Tottenham, maybe. Not going to beat Tottenham.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, but not going to beat Tottenham.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, but they're not going to beat Tottenham.
Okay, guys.
Thank you for having me, Martin.
Thank you for having me again.
Hello, Bolivia.
We actually learned quite a lot today and do some good rule changes. So hopefully Martin's crazy mind will be helping UEFA in changing some rules.
Yeah.
And you get some deal in shitty team in Belgium. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll see you
next
week.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.